It's official. The Timberwolves have a new president of basketball operations, and he is one of the most highly respected execs and team builders in the entire NBA. We're going to talk all about Tim Connelly on today's show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. A very special edition of Locked On Wolves today as the Wolves have a new front office boss. First of all, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. And at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so massive day in terms of really in Timberwolves history as the Wolves have hired a brand new president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly, away from the Denver Nuggets. Of course, this news has been out there now for nearly a week, really going back to last Wednesday is when the name was first reported as somebody in talks with the Timberwolves. And then, of course, serious talks we learned on Friday's show. We talked extensively about it. And then also Monday's show. And then it was reported first by Shams Charania and John Krasinski at The Athletic. Of course, John, the local reporter, Shams, one of the national reporters for the NBA at The Athletic, reporting it, as well as Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. And it came out midday Monday that Connelly had agreed to terms with the Timberwolves. He was in Minnesota, apparently at Glenn Taylor's house in Mankato on Saturday with his wife, their two young kids, along with some other Timberwolves front office execs, Ethan Kasson, Ryan Tanke, the COO and CEO of the team, or I guess I flipped that. Tanke's the COO and Kasson, the CEO of the Timberwolves, were there apparently for around 4 hours on Saturday at Glenn Taylor's house in Mankato, and then took the rest of the weekend to make the decision. On Monday, Connelly decided to come back to Minnesota per lots of reports that are out there. I think Wojnarowski said, as well as Charania and Krasinski, that the Denver Nuggets countered with an offer to try and keep Connelly in Denver, but it was nowhere near what the Timberwolves offered. The actual contract is 5 years and $40 million, as well as an ownership stake, which is the key part of this. We'll get into that here in just a minute. Initially, it was thought to be about double what he was getting paid in Denver. So, I mean, even if Denver came up, I have no idea, obviously, but say they came up 25% or came up 50% of his current salary, that would still mean he'd be 50% short of what his new salary would be, plus the ownership stake. Which it sounds like there's some factors that will influence how much that is as he goes through his contract. But 5 years and $40 million is incredible security for an executive in today's NBA. Of course, Tom Thibodeau got $8 million a year, between $7 and $8 million, which is what this is, right? It comes out to $8 million a year to be the president of basketball operations and head coach of the Timberwolves going back now several years. This is to be the president of basketball operations, the same title he's had in Denver, plus the ownership stake for Tim Connelly. And obviously, it took a lot to pry him away from Denver. I talked on Monday's show about how Mark Stein, the ESPN reporter on his Substack, former ESPN reporter, currently on his own Substack site, was saying the thought around the league was it'd be really hard to get Connelly out of Minnesota. Went back and listened to Zach Lowe's podcast, the Low Post podcast at ESPN from Friday. And he closed his show by talking about how, it would take a lot to get Connelly away from Denver, right? Like, obviously, Minnesota's after him. This clears a Mark Lori, Alex Rodriguez, new ownership group, trying to put their stamp on the organization very quickly. But how are you going to get this guy out of Denver, where he's won, as I talked about Monday, 40-plus games, six straight years? Conference Finals a couple of years ago. Back-to-back seasons with the MVP. Jamal Murray coming back from injury. Michael Porter Jr. coming back from injury. There's a core there to be very competitive. And now you're leaving for a division rival. Now, you get twice the money plus the ownership stake. And you get Anthony Edwards, who is he ever going to win back-to-back MVPs? I don't know, but there's more years ahead for Anthony Edwards. Obviously more from this point forward, the sky is legitimately the limit for Anthony Edwards. And obviously Jokic is incredible, one of the best two or three players in the league, back-to-back MVPs, dragged a bruised and battered Nuggets team to what they win 48 games this season in a disappointing first-round loss. But like he was leaving a great situation that he built, basically. Obviously inherited a decent roster and some decent assets. We'll go through the list of moves he's made here in a minute. But leaving a great situation for another attractive one. But obviously it took this Godfather type offer to get him away from the Denver Nuggets. The ownership stake, I should note, this was noted by Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN as what he called multiple places in his story on Twitter. On air on ESPN, Wojnarowski called the ownership stake, quote, life-changing money. That's the direct quote from Woj that he used multiple times. He said, in his words, very few executives league-wide have ownership stake in their respective teams. And of course, we know the Wolves were just sold for, what was it, $1.45 billion or something like that. I mean, ownership stake in any one of these teams is going to be worth quite a bit moving forward. And that, for a guy with, you know, a young family and the opportunity to build another team, not from the ground up, because this obviously was a playoff team this year, but to put his mark very quickly on a team that already has some good assets. I mean, the life-changing money on top of all of it, and frankly, Denver and Minneapolis aren't too dissimilar in terms of markets or even as cities. It seems to be a really perfect match. And of course, across the board, all the sentiment about Connelly, and I talked about this at the end of the show yesterday, or middle of the show, I guess, on Monday, is everybody loves him. The players to a person. We'll talk about this a little bit later. Veterans who came to Denver when they may have had other options, but came to Denver, you know, for a variety of reasons. I'm not going to pretend like the only reason guys were signing in Denver was because of Tim Connelly, but clearly he's extremely well respected based on some of the stuff we were hearing in the media over the weekend and what teams are, you know, players are saying. We saw some tweets. Bones Highland tweeted out some words of disappointment. You know, there seems to be a sentiment across the Denver organization, front office, coaching staff, players. Everyone's really sad to see this guy go. And that's obviously a great sign for the Timberwolves that this really was a culture changer in terms of his personality. And as we know, that's what Mark Laurie is after, is people first, to kind of shape his philosophy, shape the philosophy of the organization. And especially after what was clearly a rocky end to the Gerson Rosas tenure, which is maybe a very light way of saying that. Some of the things that came out, you know, there were conflicting reports about how he managed his job and the front office there. But part of the reason for his dismissal last fall was apparently because of inner office, not just relationships, but also, person to person, you know, the toxic environment, the way that certain conflict was handled and maybe the lack of resolution in conflict, some of those type of things. And apparently Connelly's run a really tight ship and done a really great job in Denver and is thought very well of there. Of course, he was promoted to that job after Masai Ujiri left back in 2013 for Toronto. He had been in New Orleans previously as the assistant GM, and Calvin Booth has been the AGM and then the GM there. Of course, a former Timberwolves player and executive. Calvin Booth is now likely going to get the head job in Denver. So good. Congrats to Booth as well. Next, what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about, I talked about his draft track record quite a bit on Monday. I'll touch briefly on that, but I want to talk about a couple of the trades he made, some of the kind of fringe moves. I wrote an article about the Nuggets and their team building process a little over 2 years ago, just prior to COVID, over at dunkingwithwolves.com, where I used to be the co-editor. And I want to talk a little bit about that piece that I wrote and the similarities between the way that Denver was built and how the Minnesota Timberwolves have been built to this point, or how the Wolves at the time were building and currently how they have been built. So we'll do that next. First, let's talk about our friends over at Prize Picks. NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I absolutely love this app, and I know you will too. It's super easy to use. Again, this is it's a daily fantasy service, and you're not playing against pro DFS players, right? You're playing against the numbers. It's super easy. You pick 2 to 5 players, plus an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It really is that easy. Plus, Prize Picks has safe and fast withdrawals, and the award-winning app is on both the App Store and Google Play. Again, you're picking props. You can pick any prop you can think of, for points scored to rebounds, even steals. It allows mixed sport entries. So if you're currently playing along at the playoffs, you can take Steph Curry three-pointers made over. Say you're also a baseball fan, the Twins are playing, you could take Joe Ryan earned runs allowed under, or Byron Buxton runs scored over, plus Steph Curry three-pointers made over, something like that. You can mix sports. It's not just NBA and MLB. In football season, you can go college football, you can go NFL, college basketball, soccer, MMA, whatever you're into, you can cross sports, and that's the beauty of the whole thing. For a limited time right now, though, PrizePicks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. all of our listeners, I should say, listeners get $50 for free. If a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point, you'll get that $50. You must use the code NBA, though. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On listeners only. Sign up today and use the code NBA, $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Thank you again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Now make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board show. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Of course, the Wolves have pick number 19, as well as 3 second rounders. By the way, Timberwolves have a new team president who did a pretty good job with second rounders in Denver. If you've heard of Nikola Jokic, Monty Morris, I mean, several strong second round picks. Jokic, of course, by far the headliner. But I don't know. Good draft to have 3 second round picks if Tim Connelly is going to come run the show. Okay, speaking of Connelly, let's talk a little bit about some of the other moves he's made. So I talked quite a bit about the draft history on Monday's show. The cliff notes here are, it's not perfect because nobody's draft history ever is, right? It's impossible to be perfect, quite literally. But there's some really, really impressive selections over the course of the draft ledger over the last 10 years for Tim Connelly in Denver. Jokic being the headliner as the second round pick, 2014, I guess it would have been. Obviously, that's the big one. I mentioned Monty Morris as a second rounder. More recently, Bones Highland, of course, this year as a rookie, late first round pick. Zeke Nagy, the Minnesota native, the year before, late first round pick. Michael Porter Jr. was, of course, going to be a top 2-3 pick in the draft, if not one overall, before the injuries. He still took him 14 and 8 in 2018. Gave him the early extension this year. Of course, the injuries came, cropped up this year, and he missed the vast majority of the season. But a gutsy pick and a high ceiling player that was already deemed worthy of that max extension. So if he can stay on the court, that could be 3 really strong picks in a row. Obviously the Donovan Mitchell trade, the Emmanuel Mudiay pick, those are the ones that are a little iffy. But the year he drafted Jokic, he traded Doug McDermott on draft night for Yusuf Nurkic and Gary Harris. Both players were significant contributors for Denver as they turned around the trajectory of their franchise. Nurkic was used in a trade later, as was Gary Harris more recently. So a really strong draft history overall for Tim Connelly. And the second rounders, again, Monty Morris, and when also trading for Jared Vanderbilt, by the way. Vando was a second round pick with a different team. I forget who it was, Charlotte or Detroit or somebody. And was traded on draft night to Denver. And Vanderbilt obviously is now a starter for a playoff team. The Wolves traded for him along with Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernangómez, who were both, by the way, also draft picks in the same draft as Jamal Murray, 2016 with the Nuggets and Tim Connelly. Some of the other things I wanted to point out, though, besides the draft, were some of the moves that he made as they reshaped the roster that maybe fell under the radar a little bit. He inherited a roster that had some veterans on it. George Karl had recently left. Brian Shaw had been the coach for about a year and a half there in Denver. The roster had a lot of veteran pieces that over the course of time, Tim Connelly just kind of started trading them off and acquiring draft picks. And all these picks, that year he had 3 first-rounders to take Jamal Murray, to take Malik Beasley, to take Juancho Hernangómez. And then in that same draft, he also had 2 second-rounders. The following year, he had Donovan Mitchell was drafted and traded, but he drafted Monty Morris in the second round, as well as Vlatko Kankar, who's been an NBA player as well. So he accrued all of those picks through some of these savvy trades. I mean, he traded Randy Foy and got a couple of picks for trading old friend Randy Foy. I think he actually signed Foy as a free agent and then ended up trading him. Ty Lawson, same thing. Obviously had some legal troubles, some issues towards the end of his career in Denver, but he traded him for plus assets to the Houston Rockets and got draft picks back for him. Those weren't the only moves like that he made. He essentially just kind of, as he reshaped the roster, just kind of picked off veterans and said like, hey, I can, get a couple of picks for this guy. I can get a couple of second rounders here, second rounder here, second rounder there. Randy Foy, he got DJ Augustine, Steve Novak, and a pair of second rounders from the Oklahoma City Thunder back in 2016. That was a positive trait. Similar story with, Joffrey Laverne was a second round pick, I believe. Maybe it was an international signing that they had signed to Amada Steele. Traded him to the Thunder for 2 second rounders in 2016. So that's 4 second rounders he acquired just there from Oklahoma City. He traded Nurkic and a pick for Plumlee and a pick in cash the following season. Really just kind of several trades. And really the only ones that were bad for him, the Donovan Mitchell one obviously being significant, although we could have a whole other podcast about if Donovan Mitchell had not been traded from Denver, what does Denver look like versus Utah? What's going to happen with Donovan Mitchell now? There's more question marks now with Mitchell than there were 2 years ago, of course. But he got Trey Lyles and Tyler Lydon back. Doesn't look great. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell is far better than both of those guys. He traded Emmanuel Mudiay away and got a couple of picks and Devin Harris. So he traded, there's a whole list of these. Wilson Chandler is another one. He traded Wilson Chandler and got a pick back. He traded, you know, a couple of salary dumps. So just acquiring these picks through these savvy kind of fringe moves, instead of letting these guys walk, he was picking assets up along the way and then later cashing them in really impressive fashion. Jokic is the headliner. You could also include, obviously, Jamal Murray, which at the time Jamal Murray was drafted, frankly, and this is maybe revisionist history, but I don't think so. And if we look at the list of guys who were drafted there, picking Jamal Murray at 7 wasn't exactly a stroke of genius. That was the draft, you might remember, that the Timberwolves picked Chris Dunn at 5. Ben Simmons went 1, Brandon Ingram 2, Jaylen Brown 3, Dragan Bender 4. It was kind of a no-brainer, top maybe 2 or 3. When Bender went 4 to Phoenix, which, by the way, how incredible it is that Phoenix missed that pick so badly and is still where they are now. Well, I guess maybe not now, but where they have been the last two seasons overall. The Timberwolves took Chris Dunn 5th, and I wrote at the time at Dunkin' with Wolves, I wanted Murray was my guy at 5, Hield was my 2nd pick, Dunn was my 3rd pick. Well, they picked Dunn. Of course, the Pelicans picked Hield at 6, and Jamal Murray went to Denver at 7. At that point, it was almost a no-brainer, but still a good selection. And I mean, Murray and Jokic are the two strokes of genius draft picks. You find another couple of rotation guys, Imani Morris, obviously Michael Porter Jr. is another possible star, and then likely more rotation guys in Najee and Hyland in the last 2 years. They certainly look like they're both going to be rotation pieces moving forward for a solid Denver team. I mean, that's going back 4 out of the last 5 years. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four out of the last 5 years, he's found 5 either superstars or rotation guys in each of the 4 of the last 5 drafts, and a total of 5 players over those 5 drafts. The only bad year he had was the Donovan Mitchell year, and he still got Monty Morris that year. So the draft record, or the draft track record and the trade track record to build this team, is super impressive. I want to close the show with 2 quick things today. The quick look at the team build. The team build, and then also some of the veterans that have joined the Denver Nuggets over the last couple of years. There's been some chatter out there about the effect and the impact that Connolly's had on some veteran guys choosing to play in Denver because of his reputation, the reputation of obviously Michael Malone and the coaching staff as well. So I want to close with that and kind of bring this thing a little bit more full circle. First of all, let's talk about our friends over at Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil to even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, let's close this with a couple of thoughts. First, the team build thing. So I alluded to this here a minute ago, but I wrote this article about the Denver Nuggets and how they were built way back in January of 2020. So if it feels like forever ago, it was. frankly. It was before COVID. It was before the Timberwolves Nuggets trade that brought Beasley and Wancho to Minnesota and Jared Vanderbilt. But going all the way back to then, and this still rings true now, the way that the Denver Nuggets were built, and again, written 2 years ago, but a lot of these guys are still there. They didn't have that many first-round picks on this team, right? Because they drafted and traded Rudy Gobert. They drafted and traded Doug McDermott. They drafted Emmanuel Mudiay, who did not turn out well. They drafted Wancho, Malik Beasley. They've since been traded. But again, a lot of these guys are cashed in for additional assets. Monty Morris, second-round slam dunk. Michael Porter Jr. Was the first-round slam dunk, minus the injuries in 2018. A variety of moves involving first-rounders, but not a ton of success outside of Jamal Murray. Now, look at second-rounders. Nikola Jokic, the obvious one. We talked about that. We talked about Monty Morris as a fantastic second-rounder. Well, they've only really, like, quote-unquote, hit on two second-rounders. You get effectively a starting point guard in Monty Morris and a two-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. You're doing okay. I mean, who cares what you did with the rest of them? They're lottery tickets. He acquired a lot of them, and he hit on a couple of them. And it wasn't completely luck either. Now, the trade market is where he's really made his hay. So I'm going to read a couple of, by he, I mean Connelly in the Nuggets front office. So I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from this article that I wrote back in 2020 at DunkyMythWolves.com. Of the rest of the roster, Gary Harris was the only player that the Nuggets acquired on draft night that did not play for another team. Will Barton, Jeremy Grant, Mason Plumlee were all acquired as other moves. On draft night in 2014, Harris and Nurkic were acquired for Doug McDermott and Anthony Randolph. Prior to the trade deadline in 2015, the Blazers sent a package that involved Will Barton, Thomas Robinson, and a pick that became Malik Beasley to the Nuggets for Aaron Aflalo and Alonzo G. So this is at the end of, you know, towards the end of Aflalo's prime, Alonzo G. They get back Will Barton, a first-round pick, a couple of other players. Fantastic trade. Plumlee was acquired from Portland with a second-round pick in that Nurkic trade. Plumlee signed an extension with the Nuggets after they acquired him. So you look at the way that that Nuggets team was built. It was a lot of guys that were drafted. First-round picks, Murray, Wancho, Malik Beasley, Michael Porter Jr. Of course, later, Wancho and Beasley were cashed in via trade. Jokic and Monty Morris, the second-rounders. Via trade, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Mason Plumlee, Jeremy Grant. The only guys they signed in free agency, Paul Millsap and Torrey Craig, who was an undrafted free agent. So only one named free agent, and this is, what, at the time, a 35-year-old, 36-year-old Paul Millsap, who signed a two-year deal that offseason back in 2018, I think it was, 2017 maybe, that Millsap signed with the Nuggets in free agency. So a past his prime Millsap was the only only regular unrestricted free agent, Torrey Craig being an undrafted free agent, with the Nuggets. And this is a team that later that year, when I wrote this article, later that season went to the conference finals in the bubble, and then obviously would have had a much better season the following year, was it not for injuries. And same thing could be said about this season. So the way that that team was built is precisely how the Timberwolves are going to try and build a team, which is not through free agency. It's primarily through the trade opportunities and the draft. And that brings me to my last point, which is related to free agency. There was a note out there floating around about all the kind of guys that the veteran guys that the Nuggets have added on the fringes that have been important depth and rotation pieces over the course of the last few years that could have gone elsewhere, but took less or the same amount of money to go to Denver because of the culture that was created at the top by Tim Connelly and then on down through the coaching staff, the relationships that have been built. You look at the list of names. Now, not all these guys are stars, but they've all had important roles. I mean, JaVale McGee has been acquired a couple of times by Connelly's front office. Austin Rivers was initially signed to a 10-day, kind of revived his career a little bit in Denver. Jeff Green, who I've never been the biggest fan of, he's played on like a dozen teams, but had an impact in Denver. DeMarcus Cousins is maybe the most obvious recent example. Paul Millsap, going back to the first contract he signed, he came back to Denver because he liked playing in Denver. This is all a credit to Tim Connelly, the front office and the coaching staff that he put together, the trust that these veteran players have in him and the roles that they're going to get. It means they're not selling guys a bill of goods. They're not saying, yeah, sign here for the vet minimum and you'll get X amount of minutes. If guys are going to Denver, it's because Denver wants them and they're being straight up and straightforward and honest with guys with what their playing time is going to look like and so forth. So I think that matters quite a bit because, again, I mean, Denver's a great city. It's a similar sized market to Minneapolis, to the Twin Cities. But there's a lot of similarities in that not a ton of free agents are banging down the door to go to Denver, just like is the case in Minnesota. So can the Timberwolves put together enough of the other things, right? Why would Tim Connelly leave Denver for Minnesota? Well, they paid him more, the ownership stake, the attractiveness of being part of a Lori Rodriguez-led front office ownership group, which they should be majority owners in the next 18 months or so, if all goes according to plan. So the chance to be part of something special and a unique twist on things, rather than just a straight, hey, we'll offer you the max in free agency and we'll guys will choose us over insert team here, right? And choose us over the Bulls or the Knicks. Nobody really chooses the Knicks, but the Heat or the Warriors or, you know, even like the Blazers or other teams on the coast or teams that maybe are a little bit sexier in terms of being a free agent destination. But if the Wolves can do all the other stuff right, if all things are equal, they're going to get some of these veteran guys to fill out the rotation that actually want to come to Minnesota. And everything we've heard, like Torian Prince is an unrestricted free agent. He straight up said multiple times, he's recently was still in the Twin Cities. He may still be. He was going to Lynx games. These guys want to stay because of Chris Finch, because of the culture that's been created, because of the excitement of playing with Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns and the ceiling of this team potentially moving forward. And Tim Connelly is going to add to that. He's going to add some legitimacy to all of that moving forward for the Timberwolves. This is a massive move for Minnesota. And kudos to Glenn Taylor, Mark Lurie, Alex Rodriguez for getting this deal done, to the front office for Tanky and Kasson and anybody else that had a hand in getting this thing closed. Excited to see what happens here moving forward. I should also note that in the Timberwolves' own press release, they did mention Sachin Gupta, and I should have mentioned him earlier, and Chris Finch as guys who are going to be working with Tim Connelly moving forward, which is obviously a really positive sign for Gupta fans, as I am, and Chris Finch really is pretty clear that they plan on those guys still being around moving forward. And, you know, we'll see exactly what that looks like. Obviously, Chris Finch, in his current role of head coach, there's a 1 year of history with those two working together in Denver. We'll see about Gupta. I believe he's got 1 year left on his deal is kind of what's been out there. So we'll see what that looks like moving forward. Still working to get some Denver-related guests on the show later this week. Had some scheduling issues, so hoping to get someone on to talk a little bit more from a closer perspective on Connelly and the job he's done in Denver. So that's upcoming. And then, of course, we will get to draft talk. And now with Connelly, who knows? I've been saying all along, the Wolves probably won't pick a player to be on the roster with more than one of those three second-round picks. Who knows? Tim Connelly loves second-round picks. And, I mean, this guy, one of the best in the league at it. So let him go to town with those second-round picks. All right. That's all we have for the show today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves. And thank you for making us your first listen every day. Of course, you can listen to this show everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, and of course, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at BBeacon. And of course, Lockdown Wolves is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And you can also make your second listen, Lockdown NBA, from the first jump ball to play into the last possession of the finals. Lockdown experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.